The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? I tell you, rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and the daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. This is a strange gospel. The mother-in-law and the mother and the father and our guy. So let me reflect on this with you and wonder with you how we bring this into focus so that we find its presence in our own journey of life. When we come to reflecting on God's word, reading the Bible, there are various approaches people take. Some people read the Bible and they accept the literal translation of whatever they read. I once met a man who said he read the Catholic Bible from cover to cover. Now that's commendable. That's 73 books. There are 46 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And this man said, I read it from cover to cover. And that was very good. The second approach would be to study the Bible, to begin to look at the culture in which it was shaped, to begin to understand the Greek, Latin, or the Greek or Latin language in which it was written, to understand the culture of the time, to gain insight into a deeper, a more profound meaning of the word would be to study the word. And then others decide to pray the word. That's us. We are called to pray the word of God. We are called to study it and to reflect on it. But in the last analysis, the summons of the Holy Spirit is to pray the word of God. Now, to pray the word of God, we have to be alone. I have to be alone, I have to be quiet. I have to allow the word to breathe. I have to enter into the word. I have to allow the word to come to life. I cannot conquer the word. No matter how we try, we'll never exhaust the meaning or the power of God's word. So to pray the word of God will be the manner in which I'd like to approach this reading from the Gospel of Luke today. But in order to pray the word of God, we have to enter into the story of our lives. Every one of us has a story. Life is a story. We're born of 1,000 people, parents, grandparents, the culture from which we came, a culture from which we came. Life is a story. Look back over your life. Reflect on your life. Write a journal on your life. Your great success in life. Experiences of extreme kindness or forgiveness or understanding or patience that someone showed you. And how important that person was in the story of your life. Look at your accomplishment in your life, part of your story. But also look at the failures in your life, the negative things, the wounds, the struggles, the resentment, the anger, the stuff we carry as part of the story of our lives. The failures of life also part of our story. And we are cautioned that if you fall out of your story, you will begin to think things about yourself which are superficial. They might be untrue for better or worse. So we have to journey within the story of our lives. That's where we understand the Word of God. The ideal in prayer is to bring the Word of God into the story of our lives. Find the Word of God present in light and in darkness within the story of life given to each of us. Michael Casey is a distinguished theologian. He's a monk in Australia, has written a number of brilliant books. One of them, called Grace, cautions us this way. He says, authentic prayer only comes from an authentic life. And therefore, someplace in the journey of life, we have to transition from being good to being real, to being authentic, fully human. That's the beginning of the spiritual life. That's the beginning of genuine prayer, to be perfectly human wherever you find yourself. Human meaning, you will look at your successes and you'll celebrate those. You'll look at your weakness, your failures. You'll understand betrayal or neglect or ingratitude in your life. That's the story of my life and of your life. You must live within the story. Now, the gospel speaks to us about two issues. There is a baptism which I must be baptized, and I yearn for the time when it will be fulfilled, said Jesus. And then he speaks about division. What's interesting about the text is it speaks about division within a family. There is division in society, there's division in the church. But this reading speaks about division in a family. And it probably is true that if each of us will look at the story of life, we will find divisions. Now, the text is hyperbolic. I mean, it's an exaggeration, but it's meant to teach us something. It's meant to teach me something about conflict. Now, when I'm in a conflict, there are certain things I know. I know the other person is wrong. I know the other person is not enlightened. The other person isn't patient. The person doesn't understand. The other person is ungrateful. I know all this. I'm certain about this. But what does conflict teach me about myself? How do I move from being good to be fully human? That's the beginning of prayer, where I can look at myself authentically and say, this is me. Without that dynamic, says Michael Casey, you do not have an authentic spiritual life and prayer life. Let me give you examples of this. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there is an event that you will remember. Peter goes out to sea, Sea of Galilee, with Jesus in the boat, and they have a miraculous catch of fish. Peter is so impressed that he falls down on his knees and he said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." For a strong and arrogant fellow, that probably was the first time he ever made a true confession about his life. You know, Carlin Manning used to talk about this Irish priest years and years ago here, and he was given to exaggeration. And he would say of him, the only time he ever told the whole and real truth was when, before communion, he said, "Lord, I am not worthy." It's the only time he told the truth. So you have Peter confessing himself here. He's facing his real person now. He's a sinner. Look at Matthew chapter 14. You have Peter out on the Sea of Galilee again, and they're caught in a storm. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter, being the forward and arrogant fellow, says, "If it is really you, help me to walk on the water." "Come," said Jesus. And he comes, and he's walking on the water. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to sink. And then he cries out, "Lord, save me, I am about to perish." He faced his limitations. His arrogance was undercut. That's the beginning of his journey. In Matthew chapter 17, you will remember the transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain. He's transfigured before them. The wonder, the infinite, divine Jesus appears before them. It has no impact on them. They will not understand the resurrection until they have faced their failures. Until we face our failures, we cannot understand the glory of God. Therefore, in conflict, we are called to learn about ourselves. I know about the other person. Perhaps I don't know about myself. That's the grace given to me in a time of contradiction or time of conflict. So the division is necessary, because then I'll discover who I am. Hopefully, discover who I am. And Jesus says, there's a baptism in which I must be baptized, and how I wish it were accomplished. That's his suffering, death, and resurrection. He has to go through this agony, this betrayal. He has to go through this darkness to get to resurrection. He's teaching us about life. If we don't go through failure and struggle and darkness and failure, all this, we won't understand the grace of God. We cannot call Jesus Lord and Savior unless we have faced our failures. It's a good thing to keep in mind, to write journals on who I am for real. Not trying to be good, but try to be authentic. Authentic will reveal God's grace to us. Some years ago, I've mentioned this before, in visiting the elderly priests over at Nazareth House, where many of our retired priests live, and they're in various conditions of disrepair, and they're all contemporaries of mine. And I visit these fellows, and there was one fellow over there some years ago, an Irish fellow. He used to drink a little bit. He was a great priest. And he was very well read. He was a real scholar. Each time I was leaving him, I'd say, "Now, John, say something wise to me." Well, he said many things that weren't wise. But on one occasion, he said to me, "Remember this, Clem," he says, "if you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once." I said, John, I must write that down. Do I want to be reborn? Do I want to claim a new life? Do I want to believe that the Holy Spirit is calling me into a new place in my life, a new understanding of myself, a new place in the glory of God where I will be confident and unafraid because God's infinite love embraces me? How do I get there? Well, John would say, you want to be reborn? You must die. I must die to something. What is it? Die to resentment, to anger, to look at my true self. I have to let something go. Finally, in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, this is something that I always speak about when I'm in Jerusalem. There is the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, and here the sick would sit around hoping to get a healing. And Jesus comes to the Pool of Bethesda. It is recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. He comes to this man who has been sick for 28 years. And he asks him the strangest question. He said to him, do you want to be healed? God, when I first read that, I said, what are you talking about? I've been 28 years sick. You're asking me if I want to be healed? It's a very good question. Not every one of us wants to be healed. I want to keep my anger. Well, there are reasons why I don't want to be healed. If I'm healed, I'll have to forgive and let go. If I'm healed, I can't be resentful anymore. If I'm healed, I can't get the sympathy of others saying, oh, you poor person. Oh, my God, you got a bad deal, you know. That's gone. So this word of God says, be baptized in the baptism of Jesus Christ. Read the text in a new way in the power of the Holy Spirit. Read your failures in a new way. Invitations to grace, to understand God's presence, the wonder, the beauty of infinite love revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.